You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back to the program. Glad to have you here. Booger McFarland joining us shortly. Let's get some more calls in here. And James is up next. Good afternoon, James.
Paul?
Yes.
Having a nice day?
I am. I am fantastic.
You sure you still got any skin left after Penny?
I'm going in for a graft tomorrow.
I hate to miss Mike Oresko. Tell me, how many slots did y'all decide on the expansion for the playoff next year?
Well, we think we added four more.
Four more. Hmm. Okay, well, that's still going to leave a number 68 Cincinnati out. Tell me something, Paul. Are you familiar with Dr. Tony Evans out of Dallas?
I've heard of him. I don't know him, but...
Gosh, it was right there on the tip of my tongue. I think it's Kingdom Men Rising.
Right.
Is his new release to his... it's a sequel to Kingdom Men, obviously. Well, maybe not obviously, but listen to Faith Radio out of Montgomery here in the River Region a few days ago, and he had Tony Dungy, on as a guest or part of their. It was basically a collage. I just, you know, occasionally people call in and have suggestions for some guests, so you might consider pairing those two gentlemen up. There was at least one chaplain. I think the chaplain, was Dallas Cowboys chaplain that was part of what they were speaking on. It was seemed to be a good program. I caught a couple, two, 3 days ago. Again, that's Dr. Tony Evans, Tony Dungy, and the chaplain from the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. Well, we will certainly consider that. Thank you, James.
Well, Paul, you know, anything to help you out, brother.
We need it.
Have a nice week.
Thank you very much. Augie is up next. Hello, Augie.
Paul, how are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks, Augie.
Who is this? Is this Paul? Is this the man who's on the show? Paul, you know, it's you know you're losing it when people are asking you who they're speaking to and they're calling your show.
Yeah, no, I mean, the signs of the end are here. I think it's pretty clear that I'm done.
Yeah. So, Paul, that article from Ken Jacoby, and that was a good interview. I listened to it on the podcast. Give me your opinion of how this is spiraling for LSU.
How about out of control?
Let me ask you this question. You're a hostile witness. Has your opinion thus far of Scott Woodward changed any because of what's happened to this point?
You're familiar with stock analysts where they put a buy, a hold, or neutral?
I was a day trader for a while.
Yeah. Well, I have always been a buyer of Scott Woodward. I am underwhelmed so far with his involvement in this case.
I mean, you did read that article,
yes,
by
of course,
Jacoby, right?
Absolutely. It was astonishing to read.
All of the specifics. I mean, astonishing isn't the word. I mean, it touched on every sort of deviancy, mm-hmm, and social issue we are facing now in the country that Les Miles definitely gave us a national championship, almost brought us another, and now we're paying the price. We thought we had paid the price from his bad coaching, but now it seems that, like in Watergate, had they come out at the beginning, it would not have been as bad as it's now turning into, because it seems like, to me, and tell me if you see it differently, that there's a cover-up going on.
Well, I think the most serious allegation I heard yesterday from the woman who is filing the lawsuit is that she has some doubts about the credibility of the internal investigation. And, you know, you want to believe everyone, the interim president, Woodward, the governor, everyone who is opined, but, you know, you have to wonder about where this is going. And I realize, and you know it better than I do, that in any litigation, I mean, there are two distinct sides of the story. We know her side so far. We don't know the other side.
No, and that's true. I mean, all the evidence is not on the table. It's not like we've done discovery and we've got a treasure trove of things to go through. But it just keeps getting worse day by day. And it seems as though that there are still people on staff that have had an active role in not properly dealing with this and, at worst, covering it up. And they're still walking around. If these were cops that shot somebody, even if it was a justified shooting, they would be on admin leave away from the office pending an investigation.
And
these guys, a couple of them got...
And, Augie, I'm not an expert on the litigation, but I do have some experience with newspapers and media organizations. And I said this at the beginning, and I'm going to keep saying it. USA Today is not going away. I've been part of investigative teams before, and you know that was at a relatively small paper, a big market, but it was still, it was USA Today proper is a monstrous entity, and I know what their end game is right now, and there is nothing that will stop them. There's no threats, no intimidation. Kenny told us yesterday he'll be down there tomorrow. It's a dogged group, and they have the one thing that most news organizations don't have right now when it comes to investigative reporting, and that is the desire and the will and the money to back it up. It costs a lot of money to practice good journalism.
Well, so the other question I had for you, what type of pressure do you believe that Andrea Gallo, who, that was a great interview, by the way, she keeps producing for you, and Brooks Cabina, what kind of pressure do you think they're facing now? I mean, Brooks covers LSU football and sports. Andrea,
yeah,
was a sports reporter.
Augie, I used to know the ownership of that newspaper better than I do now. Is that a Newhouse, or are they owned by Newhouse?
I do not know.
Newhouse owned the New Orleans paper. I've always thought the Baton Rouge paper had local ownership, so I don't know the answer to that. I will say to you that the Brooks and Andrea's reporting has been spectacular. Because there is nothing more difficult, and I've lectured on this and I've written on this, there's nothing more difficult than to investigate the home team. I've done it. And I did it in a time when it was dangerous, but it wasn't in the era of social media where everyone turned, I had people against me at all moments, but today it's much more difficult, especially in the aftermath of a national championship. And I think they have done reporting with great dignity considering the circumstances that they are currently in.
I can't imagine a more difficult position when you are at odds with your home team, own side.
I could write a book about it, Augie, because I've lived it.
I think a lot of people have lived it in their jobs where your organization took the wrong road and you were seen as the outcast and you were persecuted for it. And over time you were proven correct.
Yeah.
But
doesn't matter. But there's nothing more important in a community like Baton Rouge or Tuscaloosa or Athens or anywhere, by the way, Gannett owns the Baton Rouge paper, I believe, or they own the Gannett owns the USA Today. They may own the Baton Rouge paper as well. I'll have to double check. Let me assure you, the Gannett company. I've been in these meetings before, and I don't mean to speak out of school, but there are two things. Don't think that the end game here is great journalism. The end game here is winning a Pulitzer Prize, Augie.
Oh, sure.
And in the world of journalism, that is the holy grail, and it has. There is nothing that will stop it, and that is what I think is the most dangerous part for LSU in this investigation. I don't know who owns the Baton Rouge paper. I think it's a local organization. We are heading to a break. I do know who owns Booger McFarland. Nobody, and he is joining us next from ESPN.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back, and we'll talk to Booger McFarland in a couple of minutes. We'll go down to Louisiana in the final hour and check in with Glenn Gilbo on the ever-changing woes of the LSU athletic department. Let's get back to the calls right now and talk to Bob, who is in Texas. Hey, Bob, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you getting along?
I am doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, you probably don't remember, but either November, December, when all this LSU stuff started, when all them accusations against them boys, sexual misconduct, I called you and we had a conversation, and I told you then that be careful pulling the lid off that box because there would be no end to it, and it's coming to fruition.
It does look that way, yes.
And I just and Paul, my loyalties don't lay at LSU; they lay a ways west of there. But I've got some ties down in that country, and. And I've been told that this is just the top layer of it. That it's going to get pretty nasty before it's over.
Well, Bob, I don't know very many people who would want the onion peeled off of absolutely everything in their life. But in this case, it's clear that wrongdoing occurred, and it's even clearer that very little has been done other than a lot of bloviating to correct it.
Yes, sir. That you're exactly right. And the thing, the wrongdoing's been done, and it appears that it's still being done.
Yeah, that's the hard part right now. And I think in most, you know, if you study history, when mistakes are made, regardless of where they are, the best thing to do is get it out in the open and throw yourself on the mercy. And I think the problem here is that you do have an interim president. Of course, the former president, I'm not sure where he would be in all this, considering he's already lost his job. And that's the thing that's really haunting LSU, is they hired this law firm. I don't know what their mandate was to the internal investigation. These guys have done things before that are credible. But, you know, you now have a woman who, I don't know her, but she certainly, when you, if you read the entire article yesterday, she seems very credible. And now it's gotten into federal court, which is a very dangerous court to be in.
Yes, sir, you're absolutely
and
right.
I'll say one more thing, not to get political, but in today's current political environment, a year ago, this would have been serious, but you know, the circumstances were different when it with the Justice Department, with the Department of Education. This is not a group in Washington right now that is going to look away from this. They are going to look toward it.
Yes, sir. I bet old what's his name wish he'd never left A&M.
Yeah, I know Scott Woodward pretty well, and I joked with him a year or two ago. I bet, man, you're one. I've never seen a guy just, you know, move jobs and win the national championship. I'm not blaming Scott Woodward for anything, but you know, I think we've learned from the reading of this internal investigation that just because you're the athletic director down there doesn't mean you have the ability to move all the chairs.
No, sir. I believe old Scott walked. He walked into a hornet's nest.
But he did it because it's his school and he loves that area. I understood why he made the move, but I'm curious what he knew, because it seems like with his, I mean, Joe Oliva may have been clueless in all this, but you know, with Woodward's ties to that community, it's hard for me to believe that he didn't have some idea of what had gone on there.
Well, I believe you're absolutely right, because like I said, I've got some family ties down there, and they knew what was going on, and when the heads go to rolling, there's going to be a lot of folks walking out the door.
Yeah, Bob, I just want people to understand, this story, it pops up every day in national publications. I mean, we're not creating this because I think we've tried to report on it as gently as we can in terms of not knowing all the facts, but that story yesterday in USA Today was a body blow. I know people tend to read headlines, but I went back and read the whole thing again today, and my jaw dropped for a second time. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it very much. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And I think this guy Daryl called earlier. Is this the same Daryl we talked to earlier?
Yeah, it is, Paul.
Well, great to have you back. Well, thanks for calling back.
Okay, Paul, it's just not nice for that man to call there a while ago and call me a fool, because I predict Alabama to win that championship again, and they will. A lot of people owe me an apology after they win it. They will win it, I promise you.
So you are guaranteeing it, right, Daryl?
Yes, I'm guaranteeing that Alabama will win it again, and Georgia will not beat Alabama, LSU will not beat Alabama, Florida will not beat Alabama. They will go undefeated again.
Well, I might place a wager on that, Daryl.
But I'm just telling you, watch and see if Alabama don't win it all again. I know what I'm talking about. And I've watched your show for years and years and years, and they got the best football coach that's ever been in a stadium coaching a football team. I've watched a lot of them.
He's pretty good.
You have to agree with me on that.
Well, no, I'm not finding too much fault with. Well, Daryl, I'm glad you called back and stood up for yourself. Okay.
All right, bud. You have a good day.
You got it, Daryl. On the Tide. Okay. I think William. We had to cut him off too. We went to the break. People. I know I explain this a lot. When we hit certain breaks, especially the one at the end of the hour, we're done. I mean, you can. Nick Saban could be on, and. Well, there might be that one exception, but it, the computer automatically shuts you off. We can't stop you. William, you're back. William, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, let's finish the conversation now. How about that?
Yeah, I didn't get to the good part.
Okay, well, it's all yours, my friend.
All right, my friend was in the press box. with Coach Bryant.
Okay.
And Coach Bryant told him if it wasn't against the law, he'd come down there on the field and get me and take me back to Texas with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always thought it was a funny.
Well, that is a great ending. And I'm glad you made it. I'm glad we were able to get the finish to it.
The coach for Scottsboro stayed out on the field most all night screaming for somebody to block that linebacker.
Okay.
All right,
William, thank you for thank you twice in one day. Well, that is great. It just shows you that we're slipping here. Hey, thank you. Great to hear, great to hear from you. How about Wendy in Ohio? Hello, Wendy.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Wendy, we're doing great.
Hey, are you gonna watch any of the Big Ten spring football games on the Big Ten Network?
No.
Oh, I thought maybe you might see how Ohio State does. Just on a sad note.
When is Ohio State spring game? Do you know?
Week from Saturday.
Okay, I am. Per my agreement, I'm not allowed to watch the Big Ten Network.
Oh, okay. For a sad note, just because your people might know across America, but Jack Hanna, the Columbus Zoo director that retired in December, he's got dementia. It's going into Alzheimer's.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the Jack Hanna that's always been on TV?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I've been watching him my whole life.
Into the Wild and made the Columbus Zoo what it is.
Oh, yeah. No, he used to be on the Tonight Show. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm sorry to hear that. He is he's a legendary figure. He really is. Thanks for the call. We have to go to a break. Well, we don't have to, but we are going to. I don't mean if somebody's got like a gun offset, but we are heading to a break, and we hope to talk to Booger McFarland shortly and back to more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're coming.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We will talk about that draft in just a minute, but let's get back to our calls and check in with Neil, who is in New Jersey. Hello, Neil. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Recently retired. Up in the Northeast. I love college football. I've had Army season tickets for a long time.
Oh, wow.
But the reason why I'm calling is I wonder, a player that I really enjoyed watching in the 70s, Major Ogilvie. Do you know anything, what happened to that gentleman? Did he play in the NFL? Or?
Yeah, I do.
I
know Major very well. I covered him when I started my career. And Major... I do think Major played, I believe it was for the 49ers. Major Ogilvie was just a fantastic running back. I believe he played at Mountain Brook High School, then he went to Alabama. He scored a touchdown in every bowl game that he played in. And I used to interview Coach Bryant every Monday as part of an arrangement we had at my newspaper. And I think about half the time I asked him, I said, Coach, I said, how come How come Major Ogilvy didn't get any more carries during the game? He said, just trying to win the football game. And that was his answer for every question. But hey, thank. But May, I saw Major about 2 years ago at a restaurant in Birmingham. I know he's doing pretty well, and he'll be thrilled that you asked about him. Thanks so much, Neil. Booger McFarland is joining us now from ESPN. Great to have Booger returning to our program. It's just not the spring is not complete without Booger making an appearance. Booger, how are you?
Paul, this is the greatest week of the year. One, I get to be on your program, and two, the Masters starts tomorrow. So this is a great week for me.
You play enough golf, Booger. One of these days, I swear, I'm going to see you in the field.
Paul, you will know if I'm in the field because there will be an internal memo from ESPN that I have retired from broadcasting.
Have you ever played there?
Yeah, I played it 3 times. I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of good people that are members there, and they've invited me. And I've been there. I've been there 3 times, Paul. It's the craziest thing, Paul, because it's the only place in America where you can go where it feels like when you walk on property, it's still 1950.
Oh, absolutely.
But the people treat you like it's 2021, if you know what I mean.
No, Booger, I covered for about 20 years, and I'm not going to bore the audience during your interview, but one year, many years ago, I was writing a novel about the Masters, so I would get there every morning about 6 o'clock and walk around. The murder mystery took place at Amen Corner, and being about the only person on the course is the eeriest thing I've ever experienced, but to watch the sunrise while standing behind the 12th hole at Augusta is surreal. But I know what you're talking about, and I can't. Who's going to win before we get to football?
Patrick Reed. I think he will be the winner. His short game is outstanding. I know he's a villain. A lot of people don't like Patrick Reed, but I just think his game is tailor-made for Augusta.
Well, yeah, he is a villain. You're right. Let's get to the NFL first of all. Every time I flip on the network, I see screaming and hollering about Mac Jones. Is he good enough to be the number 3 pick?
Yeah, Paul, he's more than good enough. You know, here's what happens. And, you know, it's kind of the gift and the curse of ESPN. ESPN is so big that we create these rankings, and Mel and Todd do a great job. They do all their homework, and they create these rankings and these tiers. And they have to start somewhere. And the moment they change, somebody's rising, somebody's falling. When in actuality, none of us really know what these teams are thinking. And, you know, when San Francisco made the pick all the way up from 12 to 3, everybody assumed that they was coming up to get a quarterback. No one assumed it was going to be Mac Jones. But it's a credit to Mac Jones, a credit to Nick Saban, a credit to Steve Sarkisian, because they've groomed him the right way. And of all the quarterbacks that showed the most potential, and I say potential, to be ready to play next year, to be ready to come in and jump, in an NFL-type system, he is the guy that shows the most promise. And I think San Francisco is going to make him the 3rd overall pick, and it's going to be a lot of people in Tuscaloosa screaming because now Alabama is going to be quarterback you all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. Well, that is fantastic to hear because he's earned it. It's been quite an ascent for him. It just before we move on to some college football questions, what else are you – I mean, there's so many questions. I mean, there's a million manufactured debates about the draft, but what do you think is the most interesting or intriguing aspect of it?
Well, not only the quarterbacks, Paul, but just to see where the receivers go. And throughout the 2020 season, all we heard was Devontae Smith, he's going to be the first player taken. He's the number one receiver. And it's just a lesson to us out of sight, out of mind, because we didn't see Ja'Marr Chase at all because he opted out. And I think by all the people I talked to, he, not Devonta Smith, is going to be their first receiver taken. As a matter of fact, a lot of people I talked to have the receivers slotted this way. Ja'Marr Chase 1, Jalen Waddle 2, and then the Heisman Trophy winner, Devonta Smith, number 3. And I think all 3 of them are going to be really, really good pros. It's just that the teams look at who's going to fit into their system, who can do more. And I think a lot of them feel like with Jalen Waddle's return ability, with his speed, with Ja'Marr Chase's physicality, the way he attacks the ball at the catch point, I think that's the way they rank him. And a lot of people would really be surprised in that, especially after Devonta Smith won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, LSU could have used Jamar Chase this year. I think that's an understatement. Speaking of college football, let me start with LSU. And, you know, a lot of people feel like this team is primed to come back. Are you in that camp?
Yeah, Paul, you know what? I think this is the season where Coach O really kind of likes being in this position. You know the position I'm talking about. Nobody's really talking about LSU from the standpoint of winning a championship. It was a down year last year. Everybody's talking Alabama, A&M, it's Georgia. And O likes to be the underdog. As a matter of fact, I like Coach O when he thinks he's the underdog because he does his best coaching job over the last few years. When people thought he didn't deserve the job at LSU, 2 years later he wins the national championship. So I like where they are. Everybody's paying attention to the quarterback position because they got a lot of good talent in that room. And it really doesn't matter to me who the quarterback. I just know all those guys, Brad Johnson's kid, Max Johnson. You got Miles Brennan coming back. A lot of good talent in that room that's ready to play. The receivers are going to be loaded. I'm more excited about the defensive coordinator, Durante Jones. Bo Pelini was a joke last year, and I think we all realize that. So I think LSU is in a really good position because nobody's going to pick them this year to be probably top two or three in the West at all. And I think Coach O does his best job when he's in that position of being the underdog.
Booger, I know audiences change and come and go, so I'll act like I've never asked you this question before, but what about Georgia? They haven't won a national championship in 40 years. Their fans really feel like JT Daniels is the answer to get back to the promised land. What about you?
Well, I sure hope so, Paul, because, you know, Kirby has recruited just about better than anybody else in America. They got talent, five stars everywhere. They got another great recruiting class coming in 2022. But for some reason, they just haven't quite put it together. And I think if you're Kirby Smart, you got to hope that Todd Monken coming in there running the offense can get the offense up to speed to where you can score 30 or 40 points. I thought it was a great comment that Nick Saban made via Zoom a couple weeks ago when he said, you know, when he first got into coaching, you could win with defense, running the ball, and special teams. Well, you can no longer win that way. And somebody's got to tell Kirby that. They got to open the offense up. Kirby's got to score 40 points. I know he's a defensive coach, but even when you play great defense, you're going to give up 30. I mean, Saban won a national championship, and Lane Kiffin almost hung 50 on him. So you're going to have to score points, and Georgia's got to figure out a way with all that talent and all those five-star players to put an offense that can complement the great defense that Kirby's put on the field since he's been there.
Talking to Booger McFarland, Booger, the broader picture of college football, it seems like the usual suspects, and I realize it is only April, but other than Alabama, is it going to be the same? Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, or can somebody sneak into the party?
You know what, Paul? Oregon is going to be pretty good. I think they got a lot of talent coming back up there, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Everybody's talking about Penei Sewell, who is the tackle that's going to get drafted. He's got a brother that's a middle linebacker, another Sewell. He's going to be outstanding. Kayvon Thibodeau is absolutely off the charts. They're going to be really, really good. Other than that, yeah, the Notre Dame, Oklahoma. I'm trying to think if somebody else is going to come. That's pretty much it, Paul. Clemson, Alabama, Georgia. You may have a school. You know, if A&M can put it together, if they can find out who's going to be the quarterback. But other than that, it's going to be the same old people invited to the party, and we're going to have the same conversations over and over, which brings us to a point, and you're the best person to ask about this, Paul. Is this going to make college football stale, having the same people back at the dance over and over? Or do you think, because you've been around college football for 50, maybe 60 years covering it.
70.
Is there a way that we need to change the people or change the invitees to the party so the sport won't become stale?
Well, Booger, I think we do, but we both know it's not happening. And it, with all the blather that we get from the leaders of the sport, they like it the way it is. We had Mike Oresko on an hour ago, and you know, he's with the American Conference. And he has been championing, opening up the dance. But then again, you know, he represents schools like UCF and Cincinnati. So he doesn't like it the way it is. But I think it's status quo, at least for the next 4 or 5 years. I don't think anything's going to change.
Yeah, I think the only way we can change it is if we get some of the older blue blood back in it. Florida State, Michigan, Virginia Tech. you know, schools that you know, 10, 15 years ago were perennial powers, USC. If we get those schools back in the mix, then I think there'll be more of a variety. But those schools have struggled. You know, I know your man up in Michigan, Harbaugh, somehow he must have some pitchers on the AD.
Man.
He keeps surviving up there, Paul.
I heard the AD talk about what a great job he was doing, and I'm like wondering, I mean, what are the qualifications to be the Michigan AD?
Hey, listen. Hey, didn't they give him an extension?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, how would you like to – I mean, think about all the workers out there in sales and in a tough economy – who just get skunked every year by your biggest competitor. You get humiliated, and you get called into the corner office and say, you're doing a great job. We're going to give you more money and more years on your deal.
You know what that's like, Paul? That's like when Popeyes came out with the chicken sandwich and everybody was going crazy. Chick-fil-A just came out and said, you know what? We've been doing this a long time. We don't need to come out and invent a chicken sandwich. Ours has been around 50 years. And it's amazing how fast we stop thinking about Popeyes chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I never even thought of it, but I'm glad you brought it up. Booger, we'll end on a food note because you know how much I love to eat.
Without a doubt, Paul. Hey, listen, start eating more, Paul. Last time I was with you, you ate enough in one meal. That was probably my appetizer. You need to consume more calories, big guy.
Great to have you on, Booger. It's always fun.
Later, bud.
Talk to you soon. Booger McFarland. We will take a break. More to come. Report from LSU. In the final hour, we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. Great to have all of you here, and we will head back to the calls right now. And let's check in with Earl, who is in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hello, Earl.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I have a thought to consider. One thing, I'm a big LSU fan and will continue to be an LSU fan, and even, it does not look good for LSU at this time, and I predict in the end, if it continues like it will, Orgeron will likely lose his job, and perhaps LSU will let Will Wade go in an attempt to, you know, clean house. However, if the Duke lacrosse scandal reminds us of anything, is we've got to allow for due process before we come to any conclusions. I want your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And the tortured irony of the Duke lacrosse case was the athletic director at Duke at the time was Joe Oliva, who ended up going to LSU. Let's check in with Mickey, who is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Mickey.
Hey, Paul. Got a little bit different topic here. I know things are different from what I'm going to talk about, but today everybody drafts from college to meet their needs, but back when the Cincinnati Bengals were starting their first team, Paul Brown drafted, he said he would pick the anchor of the offensive line, and he picked Bob Johnson, a center from Tennessee, and as far as my memory goes, I never remember another center being picked first in the draft, and I just wondered if.
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember reading about that. I don't remember it per se, but I don't think so. That's I'll double check history, but I think you're right about that.
Well, it's not, I'm not pushing for drafting centers, but I just...
Yeah, you know, Mickey, you mentioned Paul Brown, and I think he's one of the, and I don't know a lot about him, I've read a little bit, but I think he may be one of the most underrated figures in the history of football.
Well, he had the Colts and the Browns and the Bengals.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was, I mean, what I remember, he's such an innovative person. I'm, as I remember the story, I mean, I've read, I can't remember them. I've read countless articles on him in, as a younger person, but a very, very influential person. I'm glad you brought that up, and thank you for the call. I'll double check that tonight while I'm
thank you.
While I'm doing whatever. Anyway, we are done for this third hour. I mean, we will take a break. We'll talk about the LSU situation in the fourth hour. We will also continue with your phone calls. You want to give us a break during? Give us a call during the break. I'll get it right. The phone number is 855-242-7285. We are back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.